It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 316, entitled The Kyle Van Dusen Episode. It was recorded on Monday the 25th of November, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined today by three fabulous people. I'm joined by Mark Westgard, by Maddie Osman, and by Cammy McNamara. We're here to talk about WordPress, so that's what we do. However, right at the beginning, we get derailed and talk about all of the things which are on our desk, including a fun button, which Cammy has to make herself feel better. Getting onto WordPress things, we talk about the collaboration efforts in WordPress's Gutenberg project. It's the third phase, and it's all about Google Docs-style collaboration. How is that going? We're also talking about the 6.8 release. WordPress 6.7 has just landed. But of course, we have to keep the project going forwards, and so we need people to volunteer for 6.8. Loads of people seem to be moving to Blue Sky, and I have a starter pack for you if you want to follow a bunch of WordPressers. There's a load of events going on, PressConf, which is a new event, but also WordCamp Asia. We have some updates on those. Do you want two rockets? Well, now you can. Rocket.net is joining WP Rocket to make your websites on their platform even quicker than they were before. Winstina Hughes is the recipient of the Yoast Care Fund. And I drone on and on about how much I like Generate Blocks and how much it has changed my web building endeavors. And then we get on to talk about, towards the end, just Kyle Van Dusen over and over and over again, finally finishing with a little bit about AI and a new product called Fluent Community. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And by Cloudways. Ready to supercharge your website? This Black Friday and Cyber Monday, Cloudways is offering an exclusive deal. 40% off for 4 months, plus 40 free migrations. Don't miss your chance to experience high-performance hosting at an unbelievable price. Use promo code BFCM2024 now. Offer valid until December the 6th. Visit cloudways.com and make the switch today. Hello. Hello there. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
It's well into the afternoon here, but yes, good morning to you.
It's really morning here.
Yeah, it's really morning for Cammy. Honestly, Cammy has no business being awake at this hour. If I was Cammy, I'd go right back to bed, frankly. Feel free to fall asleep during this conversation. That'd be hysterical, actually.
Well, just normally I'm with Tim.
Yeah. Just slowly, you know, just sidle off and kip on your desk. That'd be really good. It's This Week in WordPress, number 316. Thank you for joining us. I'll just get the housekeeping preliminary bits out the way, if that's all right. So if you're joining us, there could be a whole different variety of places where you're joining us. We go out onto all these different platforms. Honestly, though, the best place to end up is YouTube or here. wpbuilds.com/live. We embed the video from the platform. Look at him. He's such a pro. Mark's doing the business with his fingers, showing the lower third. That's imagine Maddie's giving it a go.
I had to figure out the way.
WPBuilds.com/live. If you go there and you're logged into a Google account, you can use the comments because it's a YouTube commenting system. Alternatively, if you don't have a Google account or you just dislike Google, then head to that page again. And in the video itself, embedded in the video, top right, is a little box which says live chat. And if you click on the live chat button, you will be able to, yeah, guess what? Do a bit of live chat. And you don't need to be logged into anything. So that's kind of nice. So yeah, wpbuilds.com/live. Come and say hello. We typically have a few people at the start telling us things like what the weather is like. We'll find out about that in a moment, I am sure. Right, let's go around the panelists. There he is, right there. It's Mark Westgaard, Guardian of the West.
Still guarding it.
Yeah, still guarding it all these years. How's it going?
Good. Very good. Yeah, a little bit tired, but I'm good. My son woke me up at... I went to bed early last night, which is unusual for me, as you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I'll get an early night ready for this week in WordPress. And then my son came running down the stairs, screaming at his friends, saying, I'm going to make some eggs at about 11 p.m.
So. Nice. There's worse ways to be woken up, but that's still pretty bad, I'd say.
But I'm there. I'm good. I'm alive. It's all good.
I really hate eggs as well. That would have really annoyed me.
I know you do. Yeah,
I really like eggs, so that would really annoy me.
I'd never get a breakfast.
Yeah, I'd never have gotten over that. Also, you're in dark mode. Normally, we see Mark in a white T-shirt with a WS Form logo, but today he's clicked the toggle. He's gone dark mode.
He's flipped it.
Your biography simply says TBD. Anything you want to add to that?
Oh, not really, no.
Okay.
Founder of WS Form, that's it.
There we go. Mark Westgaard, founder of WS Form. Anything else is still to be decided.
That's right.
But we're joined by two other people as well. We've got Maddie Osman over there. Hi, Maddie.
Hello, how's it going?
Yeah, really nice. Have you been on this show before, Maddie?
Once. It was probably a year or two ago.
Oh, okay. Though. Great. So you do know the ropes a little bit. But as you can see, Maddie is the founder of the Blogsmith Content Agency. She is also the best-selling author. I love it when we have authors on, of Writing for Humans and Robots, The New Rules of Content Style. Her methodologies have earned her a spot in SEM Rush's and Buzz Sumo's Top 100 Content Marketers and The Write Life's 100 Best Websites for Writers. She has spoken for audiences at WordCamp US and Denver Digital Summit. So is writing your life? Do you do writing, I don't know, novels and stuff like that? Or is it mainly to do with tech and things?
So writing is like the focus of my agency. I am doing sort of this month NaNoWriMo. If anybody's heard of it, it's like November. You kind of focus. You try to get a bunch of words written for different projects. I haven't been terribly good about it, but a little more writing than usual this month.
I've started that project probably four years in a row, and I get to day one and don't write a word.
That's what happens.
Entirely consistent. And then I get to about this point in November, and I always think it would have been so easy. Every day there was plenty of time. I should have done it. I could have. Anyway, never do.
That's what you think. And then life gets in the way.
Life gets in the way. Yeah, well, thank you, Maddie, for joining us. Really appreciate it. And as we said, our final panelist today at stupid o'clock. What is it? Is it 5 in the morning or something?
It's 6:08 a.m.
Oh, I feel bad for you. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Usually I'm at the gym and I'm just listening and I'm not like needing to speak. So if it's
That's true. I think last week you were joining us from the gym in the comments.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't feel quite so bad. You're normally up and about.
Yeah, it's okay. I just got up a little bit earlier than normal.
We appreciate it. So Cammy is the owner of Web Cammy LLC, a one-person web design agency. She's also the author of WP Habits, which is a newsletter. That we've just said about skipping the gym. So hopefully Cammy is joining us with a strong cup of coffee. What have we all got to drink today? What are we all drinking? I had a water and I've lost it. How can I lose a glass of... It's actually not here. I held it up for you, didn't I? A minute ago.
Yeah, I'm on the decaf
today. Gone.
I'm almost done with this one, but I have a backup.
Okay, so Cammy's got the coffee. Maddie's got, what have you got there?
Just a giant, I think there's lead poisoning inside.
Oh, lead poisoning water. And Mark, you're on the coffees, are you?
Yeah, I'm on D. I don't do caffeine anymore. It gives me the shake, so I'm on a decaf coffee.
Okay, ooh, okay. Yeah. My wife has started drinking this thing. And is it called Choc? Is it? Is not Choc, Chac, Choc something? It's a, no, okay, I will end it there. I'm not going to pursue that. I can't even remember what the thing's called. But you add this powder in and it looks like hot chocolate, but it's really bitter. And it's a replacement for her for caffeine, and she's really enjoying doing it. So there you go. You should Google the word that I don't even know what it is and see what it is.
Try it.
Yeah, you try it. So let's see. chat we have.
Chicory, is it?
Yeah, you chocolate, maybe.
Chicory?
No.
I think I know what you're talking about.
We've been joined by Courtney, who says, happy Monday. Indeed, Courtney, happy Monday. James Lau's joining us saying, good morning. Marcus Burnett, now with Bluehost, must remember that. Good morning, happy Monday. Happy Thanksgiving week in the US. Only a handful more of these for 2024. Yeah, thank goodness is what you're thinking, right? That's what you're thinking there. Appreciate that. Maddie, how's the little one doing? Yes. Guessing your hiatus.
I'm hoping you can't hear him because he's getting ready for daycare. But okay. Courtney, to your point, yes, he is actually sleeping through the night these days. So I can actually do more things.
Okay, you got a little one. That's nice. Okay, well.
He's about 14 months old this week.
Oh, so there's a possibility of sleeping through. That's kind of nice.
There's a possibility.
There is a possibility. We'll see. Good morning, says Michelle Frechette. It's 37 degrees or 3 degrees centigrade in sunny Rochester, where she's enjoying a really good cup of coffee. David Bell's joining us. And this is great. I love the weather thing. In Boston, it's 41 degrees Fahrenheit or 5 degrees centigrade. Highs, lows, the whole lot. We've got the humidity and everything in there. Wind of 13 miles an hour.
It's great.
I love it. I don't know what it is here. I'm reckoning it's about 8 degrees here, centigrade, the sensible unit of measurement of temperature. And the rest of it, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. However, there's a bit of a gimmick for this particular show. I thought we'd start the show with something that we don't normally do. And that is a what is on your desk feature. And I thought, let's try that. And so I've asked each of the panelists if they've got something on their desk. I'll start us off. This is apropos of absolutely nothing. I can't show it to you, but if you haven't got one, it's really cool. It's by a company called Elgato, and it's called a Stream Deck. And it's a little, it looks like a little keyboard, but Mark, excellent. That's what I've got. But, but Mark's is obviously on a slightly longer cord than mine is. And you can map it to do certain things. So for example, like this is mapped. If I press this button, all the lights go out. And if I press it again, all the, you know, that kind of thing. And you can do it to sort of start applications, close applications, things like that. I really recommend it. I use it all the time, but Mark's got one and he says he only uses one button.
I just use this button.
Oh, is that the same thing? Lights?
Yeah.
You got the lights going on. I've got it so that I can change the sort of like the temperature. So if I turn it on, I can go like real bright. You probably can't tell, but yeah, it's going down, down, down.
Oh, down. Yeah.
You can change the sort of temperature so I can make it like, whoa, it's like I'm in.
Oh, look at that.
Or go to so it's I love it, but you can map it to just anything on your computer, and it's genuinely really really cool. I love it a lot, so highly recommended. So let's go around. Let's start with Maddie. What have you got? What's on your desk?
Okay, I'll show you. It's got a lot of writing on it that you won't be able to decipher, but it's called a desk board buddy, and so it's like a place where you can just scratch your notes when you're on a call, like a dry erase thing. Oh. And then it also is a calculator because I can't do math. So, and then
a Sharpie pen that you write, and then when you finish, you just rub it down, and
it's just kind of like your catch-all place. Like when you're on calls, you got to do some calculations, you got to write down some details, you got to store some stuff. You know, you want to have some mints at hand.
I still use pencil and paper.
You could do that.
I can't get away from this stuff, no matter how tech I want to be.
I'm the same.
You gotta have the paper, haven't you? It's just so so much quicker.
Yeah. To each their own.
Yeah, each their own. I really like, but that's nice. That's a nice little thing to have around. Yeah, cool. Thank you. What about you, Cammy? What's on you? Oh, you showed us a minute ago. This is cool.
It's a backup button.
I'll ask Colin.
It's for when I feel overwhelmed and I just... tell myself that as I'm feeling overwhelmed.
That's so good. It's like an affirmation button when you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, you just whack the button.
Right.
I thought it was going to be some sort of derisory thing, you know. We don't really use the word badass here. Maybe we do, I don't know, but it's not something I'm familiar with. But okay, that's cool. That's cool.
You need a button.
What about you, Mark? What you got lying around?
I don't know. I mean, I was going to dig out the Nathan head.
Oh. No.
A pair of scissors.
Okay.
I've got a coaster.
Yeah, I have to have coasters.
Yeah, I would say probably my laptop. I mean, I'm glued to my laptop 24/7. I can't live without it. I've got my entire life on that thing.
I have bottle openers, loads of USB sticks, tons of batteries, post-it notes everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely everywhere. I've got a wall behind me and it's just
full
of the post-it notes. It's all about the editing. Okay, so thank you. That was interesting. Thank you. Cacao. That's it. That's what it is. Cacao. Thanks, Elliot. That's the way to do it. We've what's it called when you do that? You crowdsource the problem and Elliot's come through with the answer. And he says it's cold where the cape is. And on my desk, Elliot says, is a mini Akai MIDI keyboard.
Nice.
Little keyboard. We've got to get you on, Elliot, so that you can play it. Courtney has a Stream Deck on the desk too. Do you have a button for sheep, puppies, and kitties? I do have a button for sheep, puppies, and kitties, and it looks a bit like this. Let me find it. I actually do have a button for sheep, kittens, and yeah, anyway, that's kind of weird. Thank you. Thanks for that.
When the drama comes on.
That's right. We do that when we need to calm down. There's a minute and a half of nothing but furry animals. Mark Westgard, is that a Cat's Task keyboard? Is that Cat's Task? I don't get that. Do you get that?
No.
Okay, sorry, James, you might have to explain that. I have a Marie Antoinette doll on my desk, but I've replaced her head with a squirrel head.
I want to see that.
That's funny.
Hello everybody, says Patricia. This platform doesn't do so well with the emojis. You just get the text variant of it. So I'm guessing it was the little waving hand. Oh, bless you, Cameron. Cameron's popping in, no doubt wearing his WP Engine regalia. I don't know if you saw that in the news this week on the repository. Anyway, I'll leave you to go and investigate. But thanks for joining us, Cameron. I know it's the wrong end of the day for you, but I really appreciate it. Okay, should we get on? Let's get on to the WordPress stuff for this week. Here we go. So this is us, wpbuilds.com. If you fancy sort of subscribing to the bits and pieces that we do, put your email address into this little field here and click subscribe. We'll send you a couple of emails a week. One, when we produce this, so after this has been recorded, I'll take the audio out and make it into a podcast episode, and that'll come out tomorrow morning. And so we'll tell you when that happens. But also on a Thursday, we do a regular podcast episode with just me and one other person typically interviewing them. So it's not a panel like this. The most recent of which was this one with a chap who you may have heard of. He's called Yoast. Although it's spelt like that, is Yoast de Volk, and he founded the company Yoast, but he's no longer with Yoast, but he did found Yoast, and he's called Yoast, and it's highly confusing. But we talked about his new thing. He's got a new product called Project Planner, and Maddie, you're going to love it, because it has a dry wipeable booklet that you can get to go with it. Yeah, exactly. You get the shot. And what he's trying to do, it's such a cool idea. He's realized, and he's right, that for people who are maintaining websites, basically it's really boring. You know, if you're tasked with the job at your company of keeping the website updated, that laundry list of tasks is probably going to go on the back burner. And every Friday you'll beat yourself up because you never did the things that your boss wanted you to do. So he's gamified it, and he's made this plugin where you kind of feed in all the things that you need to do. It'll gamify it for you. And there is a component where you've got this dry wipeable book and you can scan it with a mobile phone and it'll turn the things that you've handwritten into tasks inside your WP admin. And then you sort of go through them, give yourself a pat on the back, get badges and stuff like that. Anyway, it's called Progress Planner. And we talked about that. It's him and his team. It's not just him that's building it. But yeah, he was the person that I was chatting to. So that was kind of cool. That was episode number 399, which guess what? Guess what the next episode is going to be? I bet you can't do the math. 400. That's quite significant. I've no idea why. I'm not going to do anything different, but it is significant. So that'll be nice. And then look at this. WP Builds Black Friday page. We now have on this page, I'm just looking at the WP admin, 359. Wow. WordPress deals all on this one page, right? That's and it's sponsored by WS Form. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
Real Cookie Banner and Gravity Forms. And if you scroll down, you get this search filter thing, because obviously 360 odd deals on one page is pretty hard to manage.
That's so cool. I didn't realize you had that.
Yeah, you click this like filter button, mm-hmm. and then I don't know, let's type in WS. I'm imagining there won't be too many things with WS in them. Mm-hmm. And it turns out there are. Like WS there, look. But mm-hmm. you can see that if we mm-hmm. want to, yeah, there you go, WS Form, 30% deal. And then you can go in, kind of, you know, discount, reset, put the percentage discount in cool. if you like, blah, 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 blah. And it's all there. So all the Black Friday deals that I have managed to find, they're all on this one page. As I said, it's a bit overwhelming. So use the search and filter. If you happen to be in the WordPress space and you've got a deal, click on that and I'll add it for free. There's no affiliate link or anything required. Just stick it in there. If you find something that's broken, use that instead. And if you want to sign up for email updates, then you can do that as well. When we get those deals, we'll let you know. So there you go. WS Form is our sponsor, along with Real Cookie Banner and Gravity Form. Thank you so much. And wpbuilds.com/black is the link for that. Okay, that's enough self-promotion. Does anybody want to promote anything quickly? Because I've done my bit now. Mark, apart from your deal on Black Friday, anything? Cammy? Maddie? No?
Oh, I could say that we've got the new WS Form Styler coming as well. So,
tell us more. Cheeky. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something we've been working on for a long time. And it basically enables you to style forms in a much better way. It uses CSS variables, if you're familiar with those. So it just makes it a lot easier to add your colors to your forms and your typography and stuff. And we've got that coming out hopefully by the end of the year. It's going through testing right now, but we did do a little video about it. So if you go on our YouTube channel, you can look at that and see it in its glory.
Mark is being typically fairly humble about it. It's actually really, really impressive. I think it's fair to say, Mark, that if it's on anywhere on the page, you can style it individually, right? There's more or less every single thing can be styled to within an inch of its life. So it's not
you
just
can do
like
it very that. Easily. So you can choose all your primary, your text color, your background color, and stuff like that. But then it drills down. There's actually about 400 different settings in this thing.
Yeah.
To go very, very grand. You can go right down to like the calendar day and style that. So it's pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to getting that launch, because it's something that we've been meaning to do for a long time. And
yeah, you were using the customizer before, which had sort of limited options.
Yeah, we did that. You know, we basically went to WordPress and said, what should we use? They're like, yeah, use customizer for now. Because we started WS Form just when Gutenberg was starting to be produced. So we're pleased to have this whole new starting system coming out now, which is going to get us where we need to be.
Yeah, I'll put the link if you're willing for me to share that YouTube video.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. In which case, I'll put the link in to the show notes, which will come out tomorrow, and you can check it out. There's loads. I got a sneak peek of it, and it's absolutely everything. Yeah. So check that out. Maddie, Cammy, anything you want to plug?
I have something to promote, but it's not live yet.
Go on.
I have a LinkedIn Learning course coming out that rumor has it is very similar to the subject of my book.
Humans and Robots.
Writing for Humans and Robots. So it's all about writing for the web.
Oh, okay. And that, what, the course is going to follow broadly the outline of the book that's already in your hands?
Pretty much, yeah. All about balancing the needs of the humans and the robots in your life, making them both love you.
Ooh, I can't wait.
That's do you cool. mean when you say robots? Because obviously, you know, I mean, it sounds sort of fun, but do you mean basically search engines? Is that what you're implying?
Typically, yes. Typically. There is something that I didn't cover in my book was kind of about like the AI, you know, intersection here. And so there are some new, there is some new material about that.
Okay. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's probably changed a lot since your book was published. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so that'll be a new course coming out soon from Maddie. Keep your eyes peeled for that. And Cammie, anything?
Well, I have my newsletter, habitswp.com. You can sign up. Issue 48 went out this week. I only have four more this year, but we're just going to start it all over in January. And I created it because as a web designer working for myself, it's really hard to do a full-blown course on running my business. So it's just one little thing each week. And if you master those habits, your business is going to run a little easier.
Nice. Okay, so we've all had something to show off about. That's really nice. Okay, great. I feel much better about my my own self-promotion in that case. Right, okay, here we go. Let's start on the real meat and the potatoes, as it were. So, Make WordPress Core blog. This, well, it wasn't exactly a week ago. It was a few days ago. Anne McCarthy posted this update called Phase 3, or rather, update on Phase 3. Collaboration efforts. And actually on this podcast a few weeks ago, we did share a few bits and pieces, but some of the detail is becoming a bit clearer about something else. But I'll just quickly share that I didn't know this fact. Automattic has sponsored a chap called Kevin Jahns, I'm going to say, J-A-H-N-S. He's the author of YJS, a popular framework for collaborative applications. So obviously there's, you know, absolutely boatloads of experience there. And Anne has shared some prototypes. This is what we shared last time. And this is a video that you can see. Again, links in the show notes. And you can see not quite real-time collaboration. This is every 3 seconds. The server gets polled and what's on one screen updates on what's on the other screen. So it's, you know, it's the beginnings of such things. However, the bit that we didn't mention last time, which is a big part of something like Google Docs, is this inline commenting thing. And I'll just make the images bigger. And you can see, I imagine the giant in the room here, the elephant in the room, if you like, is Google Docs, isn't it? And its capability to add comments and reply to comments and then assign them as, I don't know, done or what have you. And you can see here in this screenshot, very similar approach. Highlight some text, click on the little hamburger icon, click add comment, and then add a comment and it gets assigned to that portion of highlighted text. And you can see other people have commented on the screen that we're looking at. And then you can reply to a comment. So you've got comments nested under the other comments. And then you've got the option here to all the ones that have been resolved. You can show those. And then finally, I can't remember what this last image is, but it just shows two, show resolved and show something else. Show mine.
Born.
Yeah, I think it says mine, as in my own comments. So that is looking really good. I'm not entirely sure if it's, you know, if it's as useful as it would be in Google Docs, but there we go. That's what's going on. And there's some other things about the data views, but I thought that was the most interesting bit. I typically, when I'm working, I do everything by myself, so I am not the audience for this. But Maddie, especially, I'm imagining as a writer, collaboration inside a Word, is that a feature that you long for? Is that of any use to you?
I mean, there's been so many features, I feel like, that have tried to kind of work around this in WordPress in the past. So I think there is a desire for it. I think the real question is, like, if it's too late, because everybody's already, like, they've built their behaviors around Google Docs. And, like, the one thing that I don't notice that I use every day is the suggested edits feature. So to be able to not only add a comment, but to be able to adjust text, but show what you're making suggestions over. But yeah, for like my team, what I'm seeing so far, which is promising, it still wouldn't necessarily work for us in our workflow.
What would hold you back? What would be the thing that would keep you in Google Docs as opposed to doing it inside a WordPress?
Pretty much that suggested edits feature. So instead of just adding comments, but being able to add detail.
Okay. Thank you. Mark, Cammie, anything?
Yeah, I think Maddie's right. I think that When I produce a blog post right now, I tend to do it in Google Docs with somebody else, and we edit stuff online. Yeah, it's all the, you know, it's just an easy thing to get into as well. You can kind of almost single click into it and not have to log into WordPress or anything. But hey, if they can pull it across into WordPress itself, that would be great. That would make it a lot easier, so I don't have to go into two different places.
How's your experience of getting it from Google Docs into WordPress? Does it map, like, I don't know, like list items? Do they come out perfectly formatted? Or
I usually copy it into a text editor and then restyle it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing, but because I find it, I guess I'm back in the old classic editor mindset where you used to paste it in, it would put all kinds of funny stuff in there. I think if they can pull it off, that would be great. It's a lot of work to get this working. It's going to be a massive mountain to climb. It's not an easy problem to solve, and an interesting one, because you're going to be, you know, within a WordPress site. So I guess you're going to have to be logged into the WordPress site to use it. Whereas with Google, it's a more of a SaaS solution, so you can kind of come in from anywhere. It'll be interesting to see how this turns out. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
I wonder if it's got any legs for editing things like themes or what have you, because I know obviously the application for text-based editing is really obvious because Google Docs does that.
Yeah.
But you know, like how Figma is like real time, and you can really see what the other people are doing and their cursors move around and stuff. Yeah. I wonder if you could have something like that. You know, you could be editing a page layout or a template at the same time. I just don't know if it lends itself to that, or if that's just way too many things.
I guess it could. I mean, it could almost bleed into like the Etherin world, couldn't it? In terms of like collaborative editing of web pages and stuff. So that'll be interesting, because I mean, a blog post at the end of the day in WordPress is just a, you know, in the layout editor. So you could use it for images and anything, I would imagine. So
yeah
interesting.
Cami, anything?
Well, I work for myself as well, so I can see it being great for a big agency that have several people working in development. It would be a nightmare for me to have all my clients start leaving me messages and in their WordPress website. So, but I see the need for it. It just isn't something I'm going to use.
Yeah, that's the interesting bit. I can see that. Like in the modern world, nobody can live without collaborative editing, because, you know, my kids have been born into a world where that's normal. Where I remember the first time seeing it and just thinking, that's unbelievably cool. And now it's not even slightly cool. It's just like, that's what modern text editing does, right? You can see what people are doing in real time. And I kind of almost wonder if it's just a bit of that, keeping up with the Joneses, as opposed to actually needing it. I'm trying to imagine a scenario where, really, if it was text-based, you wouldn't prefer Google Docs. But then
there's a lot to catch up on with this, isn't there?
Yeah.
It seems like the bigger problem to solve is taking something from Google Docs into WordPress and creating an integrator for that actually works. Because I've tried a bunch, and the problem is how they handle images, because if you're trying to approach it from an SEO and an accessibility perspective, you want to name them a certain way, and taking it from Google Docs is just going to assign it, you know, whatever Google Docs uploaded that image as. It doesn't understand what the image is necessarily. So whoever figures out that component and combines it with like the existing technology of giving to from Google Docs to WordPress, like that's something I want to use.
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting with things like Playground as well. If you could spin up a disposable editor. I don't know. The possibilities with things like Playground are pretty interesting. Like in the same way that you start up a Google Meet, and the Google Meet that you had now is not usable in 10 minutes time because you closed it down and now the link's been destroyed. You could do the same thing with like documents, couldn't you? Just start spin up some. I just can't quite see the need for it. I mean, I can see the need for it, obviously, but I'm struggling to see how it's going to compete in the marketplace against Google Docs for text editing. But the bit about editing templates and things is kind of interesting. Anyway, back on the screen, there we are. Looks like the commenting system is more or less on track, so that's kind of cool. And then there's various bits and pieces that Anne mentions about data view. So this is where your data is displayed to you, like lists of posts and things like that. And there's a lot going on in there. But anyway, there we go. I'll link to that in the show notes. Next one up is, never stops. WordPress 6.7 mm-hmm. just got released. Then WordPress 6.7.1 just got released. And now we're on the path of getting 6.8 out of the door. And as always, the team are looking for people to become involved. And so on the WP Tavern website, core team announces WordPress release schedule for 2025 and issues call for 6.8 volunteers. The release schedule goes like this. 6.8 should be released on the 15th of April. 6.9, August the 5th, and more or less exactly a year from now, 11th of November, 7.0. And they say that they, this time around, have taken care to not get in the way of public holidays and key events like WordCamp Asia and Europe and things like that. And they are looking for people specifically at this point, you know, 7 is too far away. They just want 6.8 volunteers. And on the screen, but linked in the show notes, will be the dates. Basically, you can see all the dates there, starting in April 2015, blah, 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 up it goes. And they're looking for release coordinators, core tech leads, tech editor tech leads, core triage, editor triage, documentation leads, test leads, design leads, and performance leads. And there's no default theme coming with this one, so they're not looking for that role to be filled. There's nothing really to say about that, is there? That's just is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing. Good.
Yeah. All right. Don't know if you hang out on Twitter, but seemingly X has got a bit of a new rival. Certainly, I use Twitter, but I kind of use it as a more of a broadcasty thing. I don't know if you're the same as me, but I kind of use it as a broadcasty thing. Don't really engage in conversation too much over there. But I thought to myself, well, everybody's talking about Blue Sky. So I don't know, 6 months ago when it was in beta, I signed up for an account, didn't really do anything with it. And then just started to notice in the WordPress space, probably going back 2 weeks, something like that, mm-hmm. that a lot of people were talking about it. So I logged in again and boy, it's really busy.
Mm. Definitely.
I don't know if it's going to become some sort of silo, a bit like X is. Honestly, I just don't have a problem with X in that set. I don't see weird content. I don't see objectionable content. So I don't know why that is, but I just don't. So I can't really speak to it being this pool of weirdness, which everybody else seems to think it is. but Blue Sky at the minute is very fresh. And because the follower base is so much smaller than it is on X, I think if you're posting things over there, there's a much higher chance that you... you'll get discovered. Nice feature that they shipped with. Honestly, what a great idea. Hat tip to whoever came up with this. There's a thing that you can do called a starter pack, and you can make as many of them as you like. They cap out at 150 people. Mm. But basically, you go and add people that you think should go into a starter pack. You could it could be about anything. You know, your favorite hobby, your town, something that you're interested in. And you just pull a bunch of people in. They don't have to agree to that. It just is, they get pulled in. And that starter pack can then be used by other people to instantly follow everybody in that pack. So as I typically do, you know, following the WordPress thing, I put together what I call a WordPressers starter pack. And it's got, I don't know, something like 104 people on there. So if you've got any intuition of joining Blue Sky, you can join. Use this starter pack, link in the show notes, and then immediately you'll just be following the people that I stumbled across who are WordPressers. So I don't know if any of you has started using it. I feel like it's going to become my default, actually.
I love it. I'm on there every day. I've totally made the switch. I'm not closing my Twitter account because I've had it for so long, but I prefer the interaction over here a lot.
What is it that you, like, can you put your finger on it? Because I can't, but have you got any intuition?
Yeah, well, what it is? Well, after the election in the U.S., I don't want to see all the election stuff. And it seems to be a little bit more like you can curate who you're seeing in your feed better here than you can mm-hmm. in Twitter. So it's kind of like a fresh start, you know? So.
Yeah, it is like almost like a X 2.0, isn't it? There's no. Not too many. Well, I don't think there are any ads, are there?
No,
nothing. Maybe not yet.
Yet.
No,
that will come. Block people from your feed entirely, which you can't really get away from stuff on X.
Yeah. It seems to be a lot happier place at the moment.
It's all butterflies.
That's right. Yeah. Give it time.
Blue sky and butterfly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I mean, it's a good name for a start, isn't it? But the WordPress community is strong over there. I think because of the fact that we're online a lot. You know, everybody's stuck, everybody's at a computer and it's so trivially easy to set up. Then I feel that a lot of the people in our community have shifted, you know, not necessarily shifted over there entirely, but they've got an account over there. And it's honestly, I like it. There's no algorithm. So yeah, don't worry, Mark. Yeah, take your time. There's no algorithm. So what you get is basically chronological as far as I can tell. However, interestingly, there will be algorithms, but you get to pick your own. So the roadmap for Blue Sky is you pick your own algorithm of what you want to see. So it might be, I don't know, in Cammy's case, I don't want anything with the word election in it. The idea will be that in the future, you'll be able to drop that. And I don't know what that interface will look like. You'll be able to drop something and say, I don't know, only show me WordPress content, never show me WordPress content, never mention this word or whatever. And I'm imagining that there'll be a bunch of third-party platforms or services that will come up with ways of building those algorithms. So I think that's kind of interesting. But yeah, if like on Twitter, the hard part was always finding the people that you wanted to be in touch with, well, they've kind of taken care of that with this starter pack thing. And again, mine is just called WordPressers. I think when you sign up, you can just type in somewhere WordPress or something like that. And, you know, my pack and a bunch of other people's will come up.
Cool.
And then you just hit one button and you're following all of them. But of course you can then unfollow them. So yeah, really nice.
Also like the way that you can use your domain name as your handle.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. So nobody can squat on your handle if you want your handle to be your domain name. So I've gone for NathanWrigley.com. And all so my account is at NathanWrigley.com. That's me forevermore. You can change it, by the way. You're not stuck with it. You can change it whenever you like to another domain name. And I did that already, and I'm sticking with that one now. And all of your followers and everything go. And slowly, all the links will change. So if somebody linked to your previous handle, it'll then get modified to be the new one as well. So that's really nice. And all you need to do is add a text record to your DNS. So there's a bit of technicality there, so it'll probably put a few people off, but it won't be putting everybody off. Elliot says zero ads, big win. They can't keep going though, right? How can they keep this going with no ads?
Yeah, for right now, but not forever.
Yeah,
it'll go the same way, I think.
Yeah, should be. Says should the VC funding worry us with Blue Sky? Oh, don't tell me that. Is that how it goes? Nomad skateboarding. They've got a load of funding.
Somebody's got to pay for it.
Okay. Elliot, yes. Okay, thank you. So Blue Sky, you can go and check that out and join up, sign up with that list if you want to. And then the next thing is this. We have a new, now I've actually forgotten the role name, director of the WordPress project. There you go. Previously it was Josepha Hayden Chompo. She has now stepped down and the replacement is Mary Hubbard. And this is the very short but necessary post. It came out on the 18th of November, just basically saying, hello, WordPress community. She realizes, she says here, I have large shoes to. I also recognize the challenges ahead and the large shoes I'm stepping into, reference no doubt to Josepha. And I don't know if this happened. And if anybody's in the lurking in the comments and you know about this, one of the ideas was that there'd be this, what was she calling it? Office hours with Matt. And I don't know if this was supposed to be like a weekly thing or a monthly thing. It says this format will be evolving, especially to allow for different time zones. But there was one on the 22nd of November, but I haven't heard anything about it. So I don't know if that actually took place or not. But if it did, I'm curious as to where I can track that down. Clicking on the Zoom link just kind of opened Zoom for me. So that wasn't particularly helpful. But if there's a way of tracking that down, I'd be interested. But I don't even know if it happened. But the idea is quite nice. Anyway, welcome, Mary. Hope that you enjoy your experience here. Anybody met Mary? She's been in the community before, but I don't know.
Look forward to meeting her.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Anything before we move on? Okay. All right. Let's move on then. Righty-ho. Love the community news. Here we go. There's a couple of scholarships if you want to attend WordCamp Asia. And we know that the barrier to that can be quite high. There's the cost of travel and accommodation and what have you. So to help you out, there's a couple of scholarships on the go. We've mentioned one of them before, but I haven't mentioned this other one. So the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship is opened. That is in memory of a very fine WordPress contributor who I never met called Kim Parcell. And the qualifications for that are you have to be a woman. It says, well, I'll just read it out. It's to be considered for the scholarship. Applicants must meet the following criteria. Is a woman, is an active contributor to the WordPress project, has previously not attended WordCamp Asia, requires financial assistance to attempt WordCamp Asia in 2025. And there's a button on here. This, by the way, is on the asia.wordcamp.org website. And the second one is the Diversity Fund Scholarship. And it says, not enough. Well, there's a preamble sentence. It says, however, this is not enough for many of our fellow Asian residents. Issues such as difficulty in obtaining travel visas and the high cost of travel due to foreign exchange rates are especially present for many Asian country citizens. So this is a slightly different one because the qualifications here are, is an active WordPress contributor, has never attended any of the flagship WordPress events, so Asia, US, Europe, requires financial assistance, is part of the underrepresented demography of the open source contributors, is interested in bringing their experience to grow the local WordPress and or WordPress communities in Asia. So, open until the 6th of December, I think in both cases, and decisions will be turned around by the 20th of December. Could be a nice Christmas gift if you do that in your part of the world. But nice, just a nice little bit of community news. Anything to add to that in year U3?
What a great WordCamp to attend, if you can.
Yeah. You've been to both of them, haven't you, so far?
Yeah. Such nice people, and it's a really, really busy WordCamp. I'm exhausted after it.
Are any of you going to Manila?
Yeah, not currently planning to, but it seems like it's going to be an awesome event for sure. I think that's a great place to do it.
Yeah.
Someday. I hope to make it.
Yeah. But Mark, you are. I think you were nodding.
Yeah, I'm sponsoring. So I'm looking forward to it. The first one I went to, which was the first one they did two years ago.
Thailand, right? Bangkok.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was really, really good. Great location, great people. Very different audience from WordCamp US and Europe. A lot of developer teams come in. It's nice because a lot of people that can't get visas to like WordCamp US and Europe can come to Asia a bit easier, I think. It's a good time and lots of people to talk to. And your voice is no longer there after 3 days.
Yeah, that's right. Sadly, there's only two such scholarships, so I imagine competition will be fairly fierce. But once more, asia.wordcamp.org, and you can go and find it. The post is called Apply for Scholarships to Attend WordCamp Asia 2025. I don't know whether I'm going yet or not. I'd like to go, but we'll have to see if the stars align. All right, let's move on. Speaking of events, here's another one. This is like a resurrection of an event. Again, I never went to it, but maybe some of you did. There used to be an event called Pressnomics, which I kind of get the impression was really, really, really good because nobody seems to talk about it in anything other than really effusive terms. Like, you know, oh, I remember Pressnomics. I wish Pressnomics would come back. Well, it is kind of. It's not called Pressnomics now. I don't know if that's because that sort of handle and all of the associated property rights for Pressnomics is taken. I think maybe there's something there. But now we've got PressConf 2025. So if you fancy going to, how do you say this? Tempe. So in Arizona, it's happening from April the 25th to the 26th, 2025. You can get your tickets, although I think the tickets are only on sale until some sort of fairly...
Until today.
Is it today?
The early bird ticket, the early bird price is today, I think.
Okay, so I'm just going to click on the ticket thing, VIP access. So it's not like your typical WordCamp where the tickets are, you know, $50, $90, $70, something like that. This is $580. I'm guessing, although I don't know, that this is done outside of WordCamp Central jurisdiction. I'm not entirely sure.
Because
that price is so different, isn't it? And obviously, you know, there are constraints about what you can charge if you go that route. But it obviously then allows them to do whatever they want with that. Anyway, there you go. Tickets are on sale now. If you fancy going, the date to bookmark. Oh, nice little cool, fun little logo. I noticed that until just now. It's the 28th of April to the 26th of April in that word, Arizona, Tempe, I don't know.
One of those.
There. And hat tip to Raquel. I'm not going to do the joke, Raquel. I'll just say Raquel. Yeah, so well done to you. And I'm guessing there's various people behind it as well. Anybody going? I think Mark, yeah, again, aren't you going?
I'm going.
Oh, is it Cammy? Cammy, you said you're
going. I'm going too. I think Mark is too. So.
Yeah, I'm going, yeah.
No, yeah, okay. So, why? I'm not going to ask, that sounds like a facetious question, right? What is it that you see of value in this as opposed to a regular WordPress event where obviously, you know, the ticket price is 1/8 of what this is? Let's start with Cammy. What is it different?
Well, one, I want to support Raquel because she started her own business and she is putting this together. I want to support things that aren't WordCamp because I think that there's a market for that. Three, I live in Seattle and going to Arizona in April sounds really nice. And I don't know that I'm the exact market for this because I'm kind of more of a blue collar WordPress producer of websites for other people, but I can always learn something no matter, you know, what the audience is. If it's meant for agencies, well, I'm just going to pretend I'm a big agency and learn what I can. So I'm really excited about it. So I think it'll be fun. Plus, it's been, you know, there's a lot of people I know that live in Arizona in that area because so many of our WordPress companies are headquartered down there.
That's true.
What about you?
I love going to WordCamp. I love sponsoring and, you know, giving back that way. But the real value I personally find from a WordCamp is the networking. And this is another opportunity to network with people. There's a lot of people going that Cammy and I would already know, but there's always an opportunity to meet somebody new and start a new relationship. So that's why I'm going. And there's some, the speakers at the event as well are picked speakers. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they talk about. So I think it's like 2 days of talks just in a single room. It's
no one track. People. So I think that is, and there's not going to be a live stream. So like you're going to want to be in the room. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things right at the top, it calls itself the Conference for Professionals Driving the WordPress Community. And then right here, Leaders Shaping WordPress and the Broader Web. Connect with pros, solving problems and thinking critically about the internet today and tomorrow. So maybe it is a different, more business-focused event. Maybe, Raquel, if you're watching this or somehow capture that I've mentioned it, we should hop on a podcast and talk about what it is that you're doing over there. It does say here tickets on sale until today, but it also sounds like that is like an early bird pricing. So if you want to capture that, then go to, it's PressConf, all as one word, .events, pressconf.events. Go check that out. Links in the show notes. If one rocket wasn't enough, I bring you two rockets. you got one for each hand now. Rocket.net announces strategic partnership with WP Rocket plugin. It's all the rockets. Your websites are now going to load before you even try to load them. They're literally going to come onto the page just as you're thinking, I should go to this website. It's going to somehow... No, I'm being facetious. So Rocket.net is a hosting company. WP Rocket is in the marketplace of plugins. I think it's one of the most well-known ones, kind of an optimization plugin, caching plugin, and so much more. And they've forged a partnership, which honestly, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, with the names that they've got? Ideal. So I think basically the intention is to bring WP Rocket's suite of tools inside the platform if you are a hosting customer of Rocket.net. And, you know, you can see on the screen all of the different bits and pieces, but if you go to the WP Rocket website, you'll be able to figure out what they do. But now they have this nice new partnership, hopefully to make your websites even more blazing fast than I'm sure Rocket.net would contend that they already are. Don't you use them, Mark? Isn't that one of the... I know that you did. I don't know if you still do, but...
Yeah, I do. And I'm genuinely impressed by Rocket.net. They've got great hosting. Their support is unbelievable. I mean, you get on there and then, you know, like you were saying before, I think they answer your question before you answer it. Their support is lightning fast. And the nice thing about Rocket.net is you're basically kind of buying into a Cloudflare enterprise. So you already get really, really fast hosting as it is. So this is another great partnership to make your site even faster if you even needed that in the first place. But I use them on my website. And really nice guys. If you ever get to meet Rocket.net at a WordCamp, go and say hello to them because they're a lot of fun.
Nice. What's the Cloudflare bit there? Because I don't really get myself involved in the hosting conversation, but you mentioned Cloudflare Enterprise.
So if you sign up for Cloudflare for your website, that basically provides you with like CDN, Content Delivery Network, which will deliver assets from your website from Cloudflare as opposed to your website to speed things up. That's one of the things that it does. But you get like if you log into Rocket.net and you look at the log system, you can see that's actually all Cloudflare. So you can basically see every request coming through. If you ever have any trouble with a request to your website, maybe there's something broken, then you can look that up in the log files quite easily because it's all Cloudflare based. It's really just, you know, performance on the front end and also security as well. So you get the advantage of all the Cloudflare security stuff that they have on the front end. So before traffic even hits your website, Cloudflare is turning away all those nasty people. And that just kind of comes with the I didn't even realize it had that when I signed up for it because I had Cloudflare on the front end and my Cloudflare was hitting their Cloudflare and
Cloudflare.
Yeah, that was my fault. I didn't read the documentation properly. It just works. I've never had any problems with it. Really, it's been great.
Nice. Patricia says she knows the founders of WP Rocket. I think Cammy, I totally blew your head away with that comment. You got covered up. I know the founders of WP Rocket, says Patricia. That's what's happened when you attend WordCamps in France for years. It's Ben Gabler, isn't it? Is that
Ben? Yeah, Ben Gabler, yeah.
I don't think I've met Ben. Oh, I might have done, but I don't think we actually had a conversation. I might have seen him across a room or something like that. Anyway, well done for forging that partnership. So yet another reason if you're in the hosting space and you want to go and check out a new competitor. Sorry, Cammy, I've done it again. Look,
it's there, okay.
Let's put it back. You can do that. Yeah, you're like that thing that hangs over
through the wall.
Yeah, hangs over.
I can take my nap now.
Yeah, that's right. Perfect. Go check them out. It's rocket.net and obviously WP Rocket. I don't know if that's .com or what, but go Google it. And you've got the combined resources of both of those now. Lovely. Thanks for that clarification, Mark. That was good. Bit of happy news. Nothing to share other than the happiness. Winstina Hughes is the recipient of the Yoast Care Fund for her contribution to the WordPress community. So it is basically just a congratulations. Well done. I'm sure that Winstina would like to thank the person that nominated her, who is our friend Bud Krause. And you can see on the website the bits and pieces that Bud wrote about Winstina. That's really nice. I don't know what this fund actually provides, but I'm just saying congratulations. That's really nice. Does anybody know? Is it a financial thing? Is it like $500? That's my memory of it.
Yeah, I think it's like a stipend or something. Okay. So it's,
I think so.
Yeah, okay, great.
Well deserved.
Yay! So well done. Thank you for Bod for nominating, and well done to Winstina. So just a little hat tip there. Right, Okay, a bit of partisan stuff now. I am a big user of this generate blocks. If honestly, if you haven't tried it, just give it a go. It's so good. It's, I think, 7 blocks. It might even be less. It might be 5 or something.
I think it's 6. I was just looking.
Okay. Yeah, it's between 5 and 7. What is that? Oh, yeah, 6.
You're in the ballpark.
Yeah, that's about right. It's a very minimal suite. So typically in the WordPress space, we're used to block suites where you buy, and there's just, you know, there's a block for this and a block for that. And it's brilliant. You drag them in and they do tons of things. Generate Blocks has taken a different path, and that is basically just getting content on a page. So it's not, you know, sliders or anything like that. But their blocks allow you to make any design with inside the block editor. And they've had a few limitations, despite the fact that the product is really good. They've had a few limitations, and they're busting those with their 0.2 release. Kyle Van Dusen, who we'll mention again in a minute, actually, he did a really good video. I think it was like half an hour or something, where he took the alpha for a bit of a test drive and he showed what it could do that was new. But the top line items are essentially, let's just scroll down a little bit, that if you want to insert dynamic tags, you can do now. And rather than the old way with the plugin, where you could just choose one, now you can put tags side by side. So if you want to sort of have dynamic tag, I don't know, author dynamic tag, then a colon, and then the name of the author, and then a date or something, you can just put all those into the one query, which enables you to do pretty complicated things right off the bat. But the other thing which, oh, and here is a list of all the tags, and there's quite a few, probably some more to come. Quite a few of them are, well, 5 or 6 at the bottom are the pro ones. There is a pro version. But the cool thing is the revamped query loop block, and they're now just calling it the query block. And then inside of that sits the looper block. And now, it's very meta this, you can create loops inside of loops. So that sounds weird, but let's say, for example, you want to loop through menu items. So that's one loop. But then you want to do the price of each of those menu items. That's a loop inside of a loop, if you know what I mean. And you couldn't do that before. And now you can. And on the screen, so you can see it's looping through the whatever this is, you know, the meal. And then inside of it, it's looping through to get its name. It's so you can put cards next to each other or what have you. And it's just really powerful. And that previously wasn't possible. And yeah, and apparently it loads really quickly as well. So honestly, it's like an ad. There's no ad. I just like it. So and I know that none of you have used it. So I'm just talking into total void here, aren't I?
You've used it for a long time, though, haven't you, Nathan?
Yeah, I have. And yeah. I just think it's what I really like is simplicity. I do like a thing which does the thing and does only that thing. And basically that, I think, was Tom Osborne is the guy that is behind it. I think his idea was, what can I do to help people put pixels accurately onto the page? Mm-hmm. So it's not about animation. Well, there's a bit of that, but it's really not about that. It's about just making a design which is pixel perfect to the thing that came out of Figma. And it really, really can do that. And once you've got the muscle memory of what the blocks can do and what you need to put inside of where, then honestly, it'll take you 2 days and you'll be building websites with 6 blocks, and that's all you need. 6? Was 6? I think it was 6. And that's really all you need for the layout side of things. You know, I'm not putting it over other ones, but it's I like it a lot. There you go. Anybody want to add anything? Probably not, because you don't use it. But
I never heard of it before.
Say again.
I have a couple of sites that I manage that use it, but I haven't built with it yet. So yeah. I'm going to poke around in there.
If you're used to using something like Cadence and, you know, or Stackable or something, and you've got the muscle memory in and you know how to do it, just stay with that. But if you haven't, you know, if you're still using, I don't know, you haven't really switched to Gutenberg and you just can't make that jump, I think this is a really credible way of looking at it. And
yeah. Kyle loves it. I watched quite a few of his videos.
Yeah. And there's a reason why. It's just dead simple. And you know that kind of like atrophy you get when you're presented with like multiple choices and you can't figure out which is the best thing to do? You just don't get that because there aren't choices. There's just there's a block. You need to use that one and then you put that inside that and that inside that. Anyway, there you go.
Yeah, that's nice. So,
there you go. Just going back a moment, Michelle says it's $500 for
the Yoast.
The Yoast Care package thing. Mm-hmm. What was it called again? The Yoast.
Yoast Care Fund.
Maybe. Yoast Care Fund. So Winsteiner is the recipient of $500. That's nice. Thank you, Michelle, for telling us that. Oh, 500 euros. There's a correction. It's either euros or dollars. They're fairly similar these days. So, okay, there we go. And another bit of news. If you have followed this project, this is just nice. Again, I won't play it because you won't get the audio. But this is Kelly Muro. Let me introduce Kelly Muro, or Muro. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce his surname. He is the founder of something called North Commerce, which has been in the works for many years. And I think it's fair to say was probably a bigger project than was imagined. I spoke with Kelly several years ago, and even at that point, it was kind of like, oh, you know, we'll get it done fairly soon. It's taken a lot longer, but they finally shipped V1 of North Commerce. And I just think it's worth a look. If you've got the intuition that you want like a, I don't know, something like WooCommerce, but you don't want WooCommerce, go and have a look. It does absolutely loads out the box. So you don't have to pile on all the, you know, the add-ons and extras. Yeah, exactly. I confess, though, I haven't used it, but I just think it's really nice when something that somebody has labored over for years and years finally hits the light of day. So welcome, Kelly. Yeah, yeah. Anybody using it? No, I guess not. It's real edge case still, isn't it? But anyway.
No, I definitely want to check it out for sure.
Yeah. I've got.
Yeah, do you know what the main use case is?
It's Woo. It's basically a swap out for Woo. So you are literally, you know, you've got a shopping cart, you've got a load of the functionality, you know, like you can categorize products and all of that kind of stuff, and it'll take care of cart pages and the whole shopping, you know, the buying process and everything. But yeah, it obviously doesn't have that plug-in landscape that Woo does yet. But
looks like that's one of the big selling points of it. You know, you don't have to have all these different extensions to get it to do what you want it to do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
All it does, included.
Does a certain amount out of the box. And I'm sure that ecosystem will come over time. Yeah, I think it's important, Patricia, that at this point we highlight Mark's cat.
They've all come in today. I've got cats.
How many have you got?
I've got two cats and one dog. And whenever I do this show, they just have to be next to me.
So do the dogs not want to eat the cats? Is that just
I mean, the dog is about the size of a cat.
Really? Excellent. So there's that. We had a pheasant in our garden. Like for the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's this pheasant.
Oh, wow.
It's just pacing around in our garden. And I think it goes to other people's gardens, but it always comes back to our garden. And it's way bigger than our cats. But you can tell the cats want to eat it so bad. So they just pace around it and, you know, do that stalking thing that cats do. And they get really close and then chicken out. It's really funny watching it. Bless them. Yeah, hello, Mark's cat. Thank you for that. North Commerce. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can check out the video. Right. Carl Van Dusen, again. he's doing all right this week, isn't he? He's released a plugin. Firstly, congratulations. I don't know if this is your first plugin. I know that you've done a variety of different things in the past, Carl, but if this is your first plugin, congratulations. I know that's a big hurdle. I certainly haven't done anything like it. It's called Noted. And in a tweet, I don't know if he was joking, Mark, but in a tweet, he basically said, you built it.
No, I didn't. Carl did all the hard work. I just helped him get it onto the repo because that can be a little bit of a learning curve to use SVN to get it on the repo. But so yeah, I just helped him out with that part of it. But yes, it's a really simple plugin. It's a note plugin that sits within your WordPress admin, and you can just add notes to your admin for things that you need to do. It's really, really simple, and like it says, lightweight and clutter free. So
is the idea then that it memorizes where you are on your website? So let's say, for example, I'm on a particular post and I invoke Noted. It comes in as like a sidebar, right? It sweeps in from the right. I don't know if that's standard, but it sweeps in from the right, and then you've got a bunch of places where you can just drop a note. It's that straightforward. Save the note, and then is the idea that then when you come back to that same post, your notes are just there, so it's not inside the post?
I don't know if it's post specific, to be honest. Right. I really haven't played. I played around with it when we were working on it together, but I'm not sure if it is post, but maybe it is.
Let's read, shall we? Let's do that.
Store it all in one place.
Yeah, store your project specific notes, instructions, and reminders all in one place. No more searching through old emails or docs. Always a click away. Mm-hmm. So it's you click on it to make it lightweight and clutter-free even. Note it is there always when you need it. And we're looking at one of the screenshots here so we can see the WP admin, and there it is there. Oh, I see. So it's dropping in the note. I should probably enlarge that. Dropping in the note as like a little label almost here.
Yeah. And it has markdown support, so you can do italic and bold and things like that. So it's very straightforward, but just
give it a title, write a note, and then it'll drop into this little list down here, I'm guessing. And then what does that look like? There's the second one. Oh, okay. So
I think you activate it with a menu at the top. Right. You scroll left a little bit.
Yeah, it's in the toolbar. I loaded it this morning. I'm gonna test it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's on the repo. It's totally free. I don't know if the intention is to see a pro version, but if you go into the details section, so we're on wordpress.org/plugins/noted, and you can see sort of slightly down there, there is a video where Kyle will walk you through it. And then go and watch his video about GeneratePress and realize that Kyle is more productive than you are.
Carl is incredibly productive.
It's not really fair, is it? When you meet, you're incredibly productive. What the heck? Mark, I don't know how you manage what you do either. And as always, he managed to add a nice little bit of, you know, the image is really nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, very nice. Well
nice
done.
Logo.
Well done, Kyle. We're all very jealous of you. Noted is what it's called. Go check it out. I'm not going to mention
installs.
it's got what? Oh, yeah. Let's have a look at that. Let's see what the install count is. 20 plus. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good for just a couple of days old. Let's see if it'll go up in the next day or so. Okay. I'm not going to do the AI piece. However, I am. We'll come back to that if need be. I am going to mention this one. So Fluent, the company behind all the Fluent stuff, CRM. SMTP. Yeah. What else have they got? Forms.
Yeah.
What else? They got another thing. Fluent. I don't know. They got loads of nice
stuff. Support ticket thing as well.
Support. Fluent support. That's it. Oh, and boards. They've got like a Kanban board option. Yeah. So they've come up with a new one. They sort of swing into these things, don't they? They take a thing which is already tested elsewhere. And I think that's their modus operandi, isn't it? Is take
become
a thing
fluent
which,
in it.
Yeah, like Trello, but stick it in a plugin. In this case, you know, like BB Press or Facebook Groups or something like that. So this is Fluent Community, as you would imagine. It's designed to be a bit like Circle, I guess, that SaaS platform which does the whole thing. Mm. So it sort of says, you know, membership, courses, groups, admins, discussions, but obviously all inside your WordPress website. They're launching it, as they always do, with a bit of an LTD, a lifetime deal price. Single site at the moment is $199. And I think you pay that once and that's you done. I don't know if support, lifetime update, lifetime support, all features included. And then the gateway is more, you know, more sites for more money. 5 sites is $400, 15 is $700. 50 sites is $950, but it looks like you can pay for it monthly. I think the easy thing about this is buying the plugin. The hard work starts on the reverse side. I don't know if you've ever tried to build a community, but it's jolly hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's maybe where kind of what I'm seeing in like the content marketing world, though. That's something that a lot of brands are investing in right now and building that out. And certainly not that it's easy, but it does seem to be something that's like on the radar for 2025 as a way to meet your customers while some of these other channels, you know, are volatile and people aren't totally sure, you know, like SEO, for example. There's just a lot of stuff happening with the algorithm. And so something like investing in your own community and creating that like one-to-one connection or something to it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you have a community, any of you? Do you have like places that you hang out that you prefer? I mean, I used to hang out in Facebook groups. Cami?
I do. I have a Facebook group called Web Cami Cafe. It's very small, but it's a lot of wonderful web designers that are friends, and we network with each other, and it's kind of a boutique community, I would say. But anyone's welcome to go to Facebook and fill out my little form and become a member.
How do you feel about the Facebook piece of it? Do you feel that like there's something in a product like this that would lead you to take the time it would take to build that?
Yeah, I'm actually going to check this out because I'm thinking about starting a group for my Habits newsletter where we have an accountability group and each week we meet. So I'm going to check that out. I think Facebook is easy because people are already there. And so it's a way to easily connect during the day with the folks that, you know, you're having discussions with. So, but I don't think it's the end all be all. I've always want to explore new things, and I've taken a lot of courses and been in communities on Circle, and they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm. Circle does a great job.
Yeah.
I always think that if you put like loads of work in to a Facebook group, there's probably no better place to have it because that algorithm is going to work in your favor. If your group is vibrant and active and, you know, there are people responding, Facebook is going to love it, aren't they? And everything's going to get promoted mm-hmm. inside your group to the members who aren't currently looking at your group. And so it's brilliant. But then, you know, if it's more of a sort of side hustle and a bit of a project or something that you've just got going on, I feel almost like Facebook does the opposite. You know, it tries to, it doesn't help you with the algorithmic stuff. And so your people returning. So the admin bar, here's Kyle again, right? Mm-hmm. This episode is all about Kyle. What the heck? It is all about Kyle. He's done a great job in keeping his admin bar community vibrant and interesting over on Facebook. And as a result, because of the constant churn of information over there, Facebook Facebook does a great job in surfacing his content to the people who are in his group who are logged in. I think the problem comes is when you want to take a step back, I think it quickly goes in the other direction. You know, it becomes very quiet and Facebook starts to, you know, show other people's groups and stuff like that. So I think this is a neat idea. Mm-hmm.
Get data ownership with it as well. So if you're using this, you're going to own the content. Whereas with Facebook, you know, who knows what they're going to do with it.
Right.
I've tried running a community myself on my own site and I just couldn't get buy-in on it.
Because
it was having to log into another system. And then when I moved it to Facebook, someone suggested it to me and I thought, okay, I'll try it. And it you know, all of a sudden we had a vibrant community. So that would be my only reservation with it. That's not to say you can't build a really powerful community because, I mean, like you say, you know, people like Carl that produce a lot of content and good content and it's engaging and people want to come and look at it, we'll come back to those communities. Like Kevin Geary with his circle, his inner circle is incredibly busy. And he runs that on Circle, doesn't need Facebook groups, but as Cammy says, the convenience of having it on Facebook groups is that you can very easily gain new members because they're already on Facebook and it's just so easy to get into. But
Josh Hall also has a really big circle
group.
That's a WordPress community.
Yeah.
It can be done. You've just got 100%. To pick the right community, haven't you? And I suppose the subject matter is, you know, and also the, you know, if you're not trying to grow it to like 500,000 people and you're happy with the 500 that you've got or 100 or whatever it may be, that's fine. I guess the only concern would be here, would it be things like GDPR and data retention and also just the size of your WordPress install? You know, if you're giving people unlimited capacity to, I don't know, upload images or video, which you would fully expect on things like Facebook, you know, they've got very deep pockets because there goes a flying cat. I don't know if you all saw that. There was a cat just flew across the screen. That was cool. We should do. I wanted to slow
down. Nobody noticed.
Yeah, nobody. I know. But the data retention bit, the amount of data inside your database over time, if you are allowing people to upload images and what have you, I just wonder how performant this would be over time. I'm sure they're going to make the claim that it'll be absolutely fine, but
The other thing is, this is not just for WordCamp related, WordPress related stuff. This could be any kind of community. You
know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Literally anything, right?
Anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, your local history group or your school, I don't know, social thing for your school. But there's loads in here. You can do lesson plans. You can do membership courses. All of that kind of stuff. So check it out. fluentcommunity.co, and links in the show notes, or just go to that URL. And as I said, it's $199 for the first site, and it goes up from there. So check it out. Anything else, or shall I move on? We're onto the home straight now. So we're kind of moving away from WordPress, really. Although kind of staying WordPress-ish. Didn't see this one coming. Mind you, I never do with the automatic acquisitions. They buy all sorts of interesting stuff. So Automatic have acquired something called Harper. And along with Harper comes Elijah Potter, because Elijah Potter is the, I guess, the founder, I want to say, of Harper. What is Harper, I hear you ask? Well, it's like Grammarly. So Automatic are getting into the curation of, I don't know, good grammar, fixing problems inside of the text that you write. I'll just quickly read. It says, we're excited to announce the acquisition of Harper, a grammar checker, but here's the catch, for developers, as well as the addition of its founder, Elijah Potter, to the Automatic team. Harper delivers grammar and language suggestions in under 20 milliseconds, right?
Yeah.
And it says that that's 1% of the speed of the big commercial rival that you all know, begins with a G, ends in Grammarly. I made that hard to parse, didn't I? Currently available as a language server and through WebAssembly, Harper combines lightning-fast performance with a privacy-first design, ensuring all processes happen locally on your device. So that's another interesting feature. It's happening locally. To keep the data private, it's also completely open source. And if we go over here to the Harper website, right with Harper, you can see that right at the top, I don't quite know why these logos are here, but they're here. So I'm guessing there's some use for them in those scenarios. It says GitHub.
Migrations.
Yeah, code plugin. I'm guessing this is VS Code.
VS, yeah.
And what have you. So, and here's how it looks. So I guess this is part of their UI. So it finds things, you click on it, gives a suggestion, you just click the button, make the changes. So it's a bit different. It looks different. It feels different. But, interesting pivot from Automatic, but I guess not. If the mission of WordPress and Automatic really is to sort of publish things, this is kind of nice, right? And if this was rolled into WordPress, it was happening on the device and it was doing all the grammar checking inside a WordPress, I'd take that for nothing. I'd take that for free for sure. So anyway,
it'll be interesting if they do roll it into WordPress and the dashboard and the writing experience, especially if we then get the comment feature that we talked about previously to do edits and things like that. I could see it becoming quickly cluttered, though, is the problem.
Yeah, that UI. I currently run something like this. I've got one called Pro Writing Aid, which I really like. Mm-hmm. It basically the same, but the effect it has on the WordPress block editor is fairly profound, actually, and it ruins it. I have to switch it off.
Oh, profound in that way.
Yeah, bad profound, because every time you hit return and start a new paragraph block, it adds, for some reason, it adds a bit of padding. It doesn't, when you save that and publish it, it's not there, but in the UI inside the block editor, it just adds like 50 pixels underneath every paragraph. And as soon as you turn Pro Writing Aid off, it just goes away. But it makes you think like you've just added extra paragraph blocks.
That's a bad experience.
Sure. So it's not great. But if they did roll that in. But this is cool, though. If it is private, it's all running on device. So your data's going nowhere. I think that's pretty compelling, actually.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, here we go. Here's the comparison, which obviously does very well for Harper. Harper, it says, takes 10 milliseconds. This one, I've never heard of that one, language tool, 650. And the Grammarly, beginning with a G, is 4,000 milliseconds. I don't know how they've decided that, but there you go. So welcome, Elliot. And I hope that it comes into a WordPress site near you with a toggle somewhere out of the UI so that we, switch it on. Very cool. I didn't see that coming, but I like it.
If you didn't know this, Grammarly, it doesn't necessarily silo to the device, but your data is siloed. So okay. Like, it's not used to train other, you know, organizations' data or Grammarly as a tool in general. I'm a Grammarly ambassador. I should probably say that. But
oh, nice. Can you imagine how hard it must be for the owners of Grammarly at the minute not to cave in to the pressure to sell the data to the AI companies? Can you imagine how much data they've got about just text being written by people?
It's probably pretty hard, but at the same time, I mean, to the point of this example, right? It's like that's very compelling to all of us, and they must know that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, they have the plagiarism tester tool, which is fantastic. And I use them daily.
It's a great suite of tools for sure. But, you know, always room for others as well, especially if this one can integrate with WordPress in a meaningful way. I don't know that Grammarly has achieved that yet.
Harper, write with harper.com, now under the stewardship of Automattic. So so there we go. I don't really want to do let's just quickly do it. Let's just get it out of the way.
You can't help it.
I can't. I have to do it. There's another AI tool for making websites. There we go. Did it. No, I'm being horrible, aren't I? IndieStack have got a thing called AI-driven websites built on WordPress, ready in minutes. I've got to say, I honestly thought that this whole thing was just going to be misdirection and the AI. And I haven't tried this one, but I did try one this weekend, and it was so good. It did everything right. I mean, not from a code point of view. I was just looking at the visuals. I asked it to build me a website in a particular niche that I thought it would stumble upon, create images that I thought it wouldn't be able to get, create me copy that I thought would be utterly dreadful three-year-old speak. It just did really well in every single regard. It kind of
how much prompting did you have to do?
I wrote 300 words out of a possible 500.
Okay. I mean, that's a pretty good prompt right there.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wouldn't allow me less than 250. So 250.
To produce a whole website, that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. Absolutely nothing. And it did a really, like, and I was looking at a particular niche because I have a friend who works in this niche. Won't go into it, but it's not something I've ever built a website for, and I thought I wouldn't even know where to begin. So I did that, wrote 250 words, and what came back looked totally credible. That is a really good bit of boilerplate starting point. And it would have taken me a whole day to get that many images into that many pages with that many blog posts, and man, yeah, pretty incredible. Anyway, here we go. IndieStack.com/AI. There you go. Write 100 words in this case, they say, and let AI do the rest. I don't know if this is going to ruin our careers or not. This feels like, I don't know, Maddie, what's your thoughts on this? You got a whole book about it.
I think the biggest thing is it's about, with any AI tool, it's about the user who's using it and their experience going into it. And so, you know, the prompting, that's what prompted the prompting question. The other thing is the more people who use these tools and either don't have good prompts or they're just creating the same things, there is a real risk of homogenization with all of the things that we create with AI, because it is statistically trying to give you the most average result for your prompt.
And that's what we strive for, isn't it? Like, you can put that on the banner of your website building business. We aim for statistically average websites.
So that's the thing. I mean, humans, we innovate, we add novelty. And if that's important to people, then they shouldn't use AI tools to do the whole job.
We talked about this the other week, so I'm just going to do it ever so briefly. But it was really interesting on YouTube the other day. There was a guy who is seriously into writing music. That's what he does for a living. And he released this video where he created a piece of music, submitted it. An AI consumed his piece of music. This is all very deliberate. He wanted that to happen. And then he immediately then wrote another piece of music and got a takedown notice from the AI company because it was too like the piece of music that had been written by looking at his piece of music.
Oh, wow.
And he did the whole thing in 20 minutes from start to finish, from writing the music to submitting it to putting a new piece of music up to getting the takedown notice, 20 minutes. Start to finish.
That's really rich, honestly, an AI thinking that they have ownership rights when they exist by taking our ownership rights.
Yeah. But what can you do? And so this is all based around YouTube, right? And the YouTube video. And
yeah, their algorithm.
He didn't really have too many options. You've either got to, like, you know, to monetize the video continually, you've got to sort of bow or fight it. Anyway, I just thought that was fascinating. And I do worry about that a little bit. I worry about this sort of AI-generated content, which then gets fed into the SEO algorithm, which then produces more AI-generated content, which gets fed in. And eventually, in 12 years' time, the internet will just say, bleh.
Negative.
Yeah, the whole dead internet.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's just.
I've been in business long enough to remember worrying that WordPress was going to kill my business because I was building websites the old way. So
I think we'll
hang in there for a while at least.
Yeah, it's a tool like anything else. It's only as good as the cream makes
the younger entrepreneurs that are coming up, let's say they're 16 to 18 now, and at 25 they launch a business, they're probably more apt to be able to do a lot more on their own than the business owners that I cater to now.
Yeah,
I think it's still very shiny to me in that when I do something and AI takes a significant part of that work and does it for me, I am still blown away by the process of that happening. You know, I still get an amazing sort of sense of disbelief when Midjourney throws an image out from a text-based prompt. It's still indescribable to me that can happen.
And what's going to happen to search? I mean, ChatGPT launched search, and that's just going to upend a lot of things too.
Has anybody started to use that as like a default?
I have.
Yeah, is it the default now? Is Google gone and that's been replaced?
Well, no, I installed that add-on to Chrome and removed it because it made my search go straight to ChatGPT because you have to pay for it to get.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can put in like, you know, if I'm looking for a web designer in West Seattle, who should I call? it came up with me.
Nice.
So that was nice. Yeah. That's a dream.
No, you know, I think clients initially were like, should I hide my stuff, my website from ChatGPT? And the answer
was
no.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Because it's going to have a big impact on search.
This future is going to be interesting, that's for sure. Well, we've run out of time. I don't want to hold you good people. Maddie's got to go back to bed. Cammy,
that's right.
Cammy really needs to doze a little bit, I feel, as well.
Yeah,
she's managed to not...
Good. I'm going to the gym.
You got to fight those coffees first.
and it's 3:30, so it's time to knock it on the head. One thing that we always do, just a quick one, ChatGPT, I'll just do the comments quickly. ChatGPT has a browser coming now as well. Oh, interesting. That'd be good.
Yes,
Patricia likes the fact that there's an Obsidian plugin for the thing that we were talking about a minute ago. And then Jerome is just joining us. Hi, Jerome. Or is that by? I don't know. But it's great. Great to have you. Oh, maybe it's because we've got to do the hands. We always do this thing at the end of every episode where everybody raises their hands and I get a picture of it. So give us a smile, give us a wave. And thank you. If you've been joining us live in the comments, I really appreciate it. That's always makes the conversation so much more fun. But obviously, it goes without saying, I'd like to thank the three people joining us, Mark Westgaard, Maddie Osman, and Cammy McNamara. If you three fancy a little bit of chat just in a moment, that's great. But I'll do the little closing video and stay on the call. But thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it. See you next time on This Week in WordPress. Bye-bye for now. See you later.